Slăvit să fie Domnul! Slăvit să fie Domnul! Amin! Haideți cu toții, în respect și sub formă de reverență față de cuvântul Domnului, să ne ridicăm cu toții în picioare și am să citesc din Evanghelia după Matei, capitolul 26, versetele 69 la 75. So, my reading for tonight is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl came, saw him, and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Amen. You may be seated. Looking to this text tonight, I was thinking about a parallel between Judas Iscariot and Peter. Two of the 12 disciples, the bottom and the top, if you want to put it that way. 12 disciples. 11 were simple people like you and I, and one was different, maybe. He was a doctor, Luke. You see, the only big difference between Judah and Peter, was the fact that Judah hanged himself, Peter didn't. Judah killed himself, Peter didn't. And by the time Peter would preach, by the time of the day of the Pentecost, when 120 people were baptized with the Holy Spirit, Judah was already dead. Judah was already gone. Judah was a person that cared more the way he looks in front of the people than the way he looks in front of God. Peter was a stubborn man, a complicated man, a difficult man. He even dared giving Jesus an attitude, not understanding the fact that the Savior needs to be crucified, and then he had to be rebuked by him. You see, Judah betrayed Jesus for 30 silvers. And Peter did it even cheaper. And the tragic thing is that we are doing it even cheaper than them every day. With a lie, with a backstab, with an attitude, with a reaction. And tonight, my brothers and my sisters, I decided to talk about fail. And the reason why I want to talk about fail tonight is because I'm good at it. Because I experienced fail and I know what it is, as the way maybe most of you guys here experienced it in a way or other. And the title of my message tonight, it's Overcoming Failure. Overcoming Failure. Știți, e o vorbă în România, din părinți o știm, care spune, mi-o spunea tata când era mic, măi copile, întotdeauna e mai bine să înveți din greșelile altora decât să trăiască să înveți pe pielea ta. It's a reality. It's better if we can learn from other people's mistakes and situation rather than having to learn from our own mistakes. But the reality, the truth, my dear brothers and sisters, is that sometimes we have to learn from our own mistakes because we make mistakes. And tonight, we want to see how can we overcome failures in our life. But before we see that, let's see which are the reasons that make us fail. Which are the reasons that make us fail? And I was thinking about three reasons that make us fail in the church, in our life, in our families. The first reason is the fear. In Hebrew 13, it's written that the only fear that is good is the fear of God. There's a fear, brothers and sisters. There's a fear in 2013 in our church and in our community and in our life between the youth, between the teenagers. There's a fear, and we see a lot of teenagers staying with their parents home and switching schools one after the other because they experience a fear. There's a fear of not finding a job. There's a fear of new circumstances. There's a fear of new situation that come up in their life. There's a fear that they experience. I remember when I first came here in 2004 with $100 in my pocket, there was a fear that I had. And I think there was a fear for a lot of you guys that came here maybe with less money than I had at that time, with 2-3 luggages and 4-5 kids. There was a fear. That's a fear. You know, I remember in 2004, after 2 or 3 months of being in the United States, I was talking to one of my friends and I told him, I don't know if I want to stay here. I don't know if I should stay here or I should go back to Romania. And in the meantime, there was another guy that overheard us and he looked at me and he said, how dare you talking like that? I came in this country through the bullets and you came on the airplane and you're complaining? And he was right. There's a fear. But worse than that, there's a fear in the church. There's a fear in the church of getting involved, brothers and sisters. And a lot of people say, you know what, I would rather just stay on my bench, stay on my seat and warm up my bench rather than getting involved and doing something bad, because I feel like if I get involved, there's going to be something bad that I do. Can you believe that? A fear of getting involved. A fear of getting involved. You see, in Matthew 25, Jesus gives an example of a parable of the talents, and he says that at some point there was a man that had 3 servants. And he goes to the first one and he says, you know what, I'll give you 5 talents. He goes to the second one and he says, I'll give you 2 talents. He goes to the third one and he says, I'll give you 1 talent. And he leaves. In the meantime, the one that had 5 talents, he traded them and he made 5 more. The one with 2 talents, he did the same thing and he made 2 more. And the last one, he's digging a ground and he hides the talent in the ground. And after a while, the master comes from the journey and he looks at the first one and he says, what did you do with the money that I gave you, with the talents that I gave you? And he says, look, I traded the master and I made 5 more. Great job. You really proved yourself to be a wise man. Now I can give you more responsibilities and I can trust you. He goes to the second one and he says, what did you do with the money that I gave you? And he says, master, look, I traded them and I made 2 more. Great job. He goes to the last one and he said, what about you? Well, master, you know, I knew you're a hard man. I knew you're a tough man. And I was digging a ground and I hide my talent in the ground. So look, I have my talent right now here. Take it. And the man says, how dare you, you lazy man. I give you this talent. I gave you this talent. You were supposed to send this talent to the bankers and get some interest. But because you didn't do that, I will take it away from you and I will give it to the one that has 5 talents. Because God put a talent in this church. God put a talent in you. God put a talent in me. And if I'm not going to do the best out of that talent, then God is going to take it away. Not too long ago in January, our pastor, Lazar Gog, had an amazing message right here. The title of his message was, Which Side Are You On? I was translating there in the back, and after the end of the service, I was surprised to see over 80% of the people from the church coming here and promising here that they will get involved this year. Brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you something. Getting involved is not just some words. Getting involved is not just some raising up our hands once every 2-3 Sundays. Getting involved is something that needs to be seen by God. Getting involved is something that needs to be seen by the pastors, by the board, by the people around you. Because otherwise, we can come here and raise our hands up every Sunday and it's going to be worthless. I'm not a mean guy that comes here and scream. I'm not doing that. But if I tell you those things, it's because I love you and because I care for you and for the future of our church. Fail. Sometimes we do fail, yes, and we turn our back to God because things are not happening in our life the way we want it. But did you think that maybe even in our failures there's some doors for a spiritual success? And I want to tell you something tonight that I never said before. It's my testimony in a way. You see, if you go and you talk to a little kid that is 6-7 years old and you ask him, what do you want to become when you grow? He's probably going to say, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a police officer, or I want to be a fireman. If someone would have asked me when I was 7 years old what I want to be when I'm going to grow, I already knew the answer. I wanted to be a professional soccer player. That was the dream of my life. And I dedicated all my youth to become a professional soccer player, and I don't want to brag about it, but I wasn't bad at it. And I just saw little by little, years by years, how God closed all the doors that would have gave me some sort of an access to become pro. You see, I went to high school when I was 15 years old. Since I was 12, I knew which high school I'm going to go for, and I prepared myself, and I did good in school. But at the last test, I failed, and I didn't end up to the high school that I dreamed. And from 20 high schools in my city, I end up at the only Christian high school. That wasn't my plan. You know, if someone would have told me about 10 years ago that I would preach, I would have laughed in his face. I would have said this is the biggest joke. I never thought that I will be here and preach. I never knew that I will end up going to a theology school. But this is the plan that God has for me. I had other plans. I had other dreams. Maybe you are at some point in your life when you are bothered by God because things are not happening in your life the way you want it. But let me tell you something tonight. God knows what's the best for you. God has a purpose for you and for your life. What's best for you, it's not what you think it's the best for you, but what's the best for you, it's what God thinks it's the best for you. What God thinks it's the best for you. You know, fear sometimes is not just our fault. Peter is going to remain on the pages of the scripture as the one that denied Jesus, but Peter wasn't the only one. În grădina Ghețiman toți au fugit. But sometimes we are the product of other people's mistakes. It's just the reality. The second cause, it's the uninvolvement. A lot of times we're like David. David was supposed to go to the war at some point. He was supposed to be the light of Israel. And he goes to Joab and he said, Joab, you go. I'll just chill this time, man. I'm just going to relax. And the scene came. Bathsheba came. Uriah came and he committed adultery and he committed a murder, and it was just one sin after the other. It was the chain of weakness. You know, a lot of times we might come to church and we might say, well, it's enough. I mean, it's enough if I come Sunday morning, or it's enough if I come Sunday night. It's enough actually if I come one Sunday a month at the communion. Don't you realize, you know, how many were in the morning and how many we are right now? It's enough. Și parcă întotdeauna ai bătut să se ia de duminică seara, nu? It's enough. It's enough if I get to read the Bible, you know, get to read the Bible two chapters while there's going to be a song there or a poem there. No, it's not enough. There's a need. You got to do more than that. God wants from you more than that. It has to be an involvement every day of my life. Another reason is, parcă paradoxal, nu? The too much involvement, like Samson. He wanted to be everywhere. Samson wanted to be everywhere. He wanted to be with the Philistines. He wanted to be with the Israelites. He was everywhere. He wanted to be in Zora. He wanted to be in Gaza. He wanted to be everywhere. You can't be everywhere. When Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he's very clear. Some were given to be teachers. Some were given to be prophets. Some were given to be pastors, maybe. You can't do everything. There's just a talent that you have. You don't have to go and take someone else's talent. There's a talent that you have, and you have to multiply the talent in your life that God gave you. Otherwise, Delilah is going to catch you in her trap as she did with Samson. You see, God is never responsible for our failures. If someone is responsible for our failures, that's us. God is only responsible for our victories. Don't expect to fail at the church. Don't expect to fail at the prayer night. Don't expect to fail at the Bible study in your house, in your home. But expect to fail when you're in that place you know you shouldn't be. Expect to fail when you're hiding in that spot at 12 o'clock in the night. Expect to fail then. Don't ever expect to fail in your knees, but expect to fail standing up with your chest all pumped up of how good you can do it and how well you can manage it on your own. You know, if you would probably see me and not see just this suit that I'm wearing and not see my face, you would probably see all the scenes of my life. And probably most of you guys wouldn't even want to hear me talking. And if I would be able to see you with the same eyes, probably would be a vice versa feeling. But it's not about seeing each other's how much sin we have in our life. It's not about crying on each other's shoulders of how big the failure is in our life, but it's about staying united. It's about seeing each other through the eyes of Jesus Christ. It's about seeing each other through the love of Jesus Christ. It's about overcoming failure together, brothers and sisters, as a church, as a unit, as a family. Amen. You see, Abraham Lincoln had a quote that would say, that would said, "I never want to know you failed because I know you did. But all I want to know is that you never got content with a failure. I never want to know you failed because I know you did. But all I want to know is that you never got content with a failure." You have the right to fail. It's normal. You have the right to maybe start wrong or start not super right. You have that right, but you have the obligation to finish well. Biblia spune că Dumnezeu nu descurajează începuturile slabe și Pavel în 1 Corinteni 9:24 spune: "Alergați dar în așa fel să căpătați premiul." Premiul, frați și surori, nu se capătă la începutul cursei. Premiul nu se capătă nici la mijloc, dar premiul desăvârșirii, cununa desăvârșirii noastre, se capătă la sfârșit. It's okay if you stumble at the beginning. It's okay if you shake a little bit. I am an example right now, right here in front of you guys. I'm a person that was stumbling at the beginning. I'm a person that was shaking at the beginning, at my first encounter with God. And if I still am here, and if I still am what I am, it's just because of God's grace and mercy that He had for me. You see, Napoleon Bonaparte, one of the biggest emperors of France and one of the biggest figures of the 19th century, is a person that finished his school, one of the last ones in his class. A professor would write a letter one time and he would say about one of his students, "This is the worst student that I've ever had." And later on, that student became no one other than Winston Churchill, the great prime minister of Great Britain, a man that in 1945, at the conference from Yalta, along with Joseph Stalin and Franklin Roosevelt, would divide the whole world. Let's not cry on each other's shoulders. Let's not get used to the routine and get used to the failure. God wants you to stand up and walk. Stand up and walk. So, what do we need to do in order to overcome failure? Listening to God's voice. Listening to God's voice. John 20, 27, 1 Samuel 3, 1-10, and 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 are talking about listening to God's voice. You know, a lot of people, I heard a lot of people saying, you know, God never spoke to me. I never heard God's voice. I never heard Him in my life, and I cannot understand that. I cannot understand how a Christian or a non-Christian can say, "I never heard God's voice." It is impossible to me to accept and comprehend. All you have to do is open the Bible at Genesis, the first page, the first book, the first verse that will tell you and show you that God exists, God is here, and God speaks. At the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. At the beginning, God created. God is here. God created this world, brothers and sisters. God created this world. He didn't just create this world and left it like, "Oh, it's 4 o'clock. My shift is done. I'm gone." He didn't just create this world and left it into an orphanage. He didn't just create this world and left it into a foster home. He didn't just create this world and dump it into a dumpster as a lot of mothers are dumping their children, their babies. No, He created this world and He is here. God speaks in different ways. God speaks to a positive conscience. He goes to Cain and he says, "Cain, it bothers me. It bothers me that you killed your brother Abel. But you know what bothers me? That you don't even care. You killed him and you don't even care. And I hear the voice of your brother Abel. Because you killed him. And you don't even care. I mean, so what if he's homosexual? So what if she's a lesbian? Well, if they go to church, if they believe in God? No way. No way. Let me tell you something. My grandfather was a Christian. He died 10 years before I was born. When my dad was 15 years old, in the late 60s, he left the village where they were living in, the Evangelio de Tsubihor, and he went to do his high school. After the first semester, he came back home. He was 14, 15 years old. He didn't come back with his ears pierced. He didn't come back with a cigarette in his mouth. He came back simply with his hair on a side. And when my grandpa saw him, he took him and he shaved his hair. Of course, most of you guys would say, what a narrow-minded man, huh? Yeah, and maybe he was narrow-minded. I'm not denying that. But I want you, for a moment, to look at my grandpa and to look at those kind of people a little different. What kind of conscience did those people have? What kind of conscience did those people have if they would say, God, maybe that tie, maybe that shirt, maybe that hairstyle, maybe those shoes would make me sin. God forbid me to sin. What kind of conscience did those people have? What kind of conscience do we have in 2014 in Romania, in the United States, in the church, in our lives? When I hear a creep like Remus Cernea, un parlamentar homosexual din România care vrea să promulge un mandat de lege prin care să nu mai fie religia în România obligatorie, să fie facultativă, adică dacă vrei să o faci bine, dacă nu, nu, să fie înlocuită cu o altă materie numită etică morală. I mean, come on, man, you know, I mean, it's normal, I mean, it happens, come on, I mean, everyone does it. So what if everyone does it? You don't do it. I don't do it. We don't do it. But you don't understand. Yes, it's written in the Old Testament, but it's not written in the New Testament. Doesn't the Bible say that the whole scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God? That means the Old Testament and the New Testament were inspired by the same God. God says, Jesus says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if someone changed, that's us. That's not God. God is the same. You know how I see this? If you don't want to love, if you don't want to give, if you don't want to do a good deed, it's like rejecting God's blessing. Very simple. Rejecting God's blessing. It's like God says, I want to bless you. I love you. And you say, no, God, thank you. I don't need your blessing. It's just as easy as that. You know, listening to God's voice is important. God wants a church that listens to his voice. God wants a church that is seeking a real revival. God wants a church that cares and is praying for this young generation. God wants a church that believes that God is going to bring young people that are going to have prophecies. Young people that are going to praise God and are going to sing. Young people that are going to preach the word of God and bring solutions to the people's problems. Because the people, the church here and there, everywhere, they're sick of advices. There are advices everywhere. There's advisors everywhere. There's advisors in the churches. There's advisors outside the church. You turn on the TV and you see political advisors, financial advisors, economical advisors. There's the world is full of advisors. But God needs young people, all people, but people with a power, people with a passion, people that love the word of God, and people that live the word of God fully in their life. Eli and Samuel. Samuel has a dream. And he goes to Eli and he says, did you call me? No, I didn't call you. He goes back to sleep. He comes back. Did you call me? No, I didn't. He goes the third time. Did you call me? And then Eli realizes something. Wait a second. This kid is not crazy. And he looks at him and says, you know what, Samuel, if you're going to hear that voice one more time, just say these words. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. That's not a sentence. That's not an advice. That's not even a sermon. This is a lesson of life. Speak, Lord, because your servant hears. But unfortunately, today, it's more like, listen, Lord, your servant speaks. Because we have so many things to say. We come to church and there's so many things in my mind and there's so many things in my life. And like, I have so many things to tell God that I can't even hear his voice. Yeah, I come to church. I already know it's going to be three prayers. There are going to be three songs. The preacher is going to talk about holiness. It's going to talk about judgment. It's going to talk about this. It's going to talk about that. We're so predictable. It's almost like we can be out here and preach. And God says, you don't understand. If for a second you would just hear my voice because I want to speak to you. God wants to speak to us. God wants to give you a solution to your problem. God wants to answer your request. God wants to give you victory in your trial. God wants the best for you and for your family. But if you just for a second stop and just hear His voice. God spoke to Peter through a rooster. Și dacă nu vrem, poate să ne vorbească Domnul de voie, s-ar putea să ne vorbească de nevoie. If I don't want, and you don't want to hear God's voice when you're healthy, you might want to hear it when you have some, when you go to some chemotherapy. If you don't want to hear God's voice when you're settled and you have everything, you might want to hear it when you stare in front of the bank with your kids, not understanding how come 2 years ago I had everything right and everything good, and now I lost my home, I lost my car, I'm losing everything. You might want to hear God's voice then. That's why He says, astăzi, dacă mi-auzi glasul, întoarce-te la mine, ascultă-mi vocea, pentru că am un plan cu viața ta, am un plan cu familia ta, am un plan cu viitorul tău, vreau să-ți vorbesc și vreau să te binecuvintez, slăvit să fie El. Amen. Listening to His voice is very important. And the second of all, experiencing a total change. Experiencing a total change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 12, with 2, Numbers 23:19. And here in the last verse, 75, the word of God says, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Experiencing a total change. 3 things, quick, I want to say about this. First of all, the Bible says here that Peter remembered. Peter remembered. My brother and my sister, my friend, if you want to overcome the failure, if you want to overcome failure in your life, you have to remember. You have to remember that one time you were brought here for dedication. You have to remember that one time you made a commitment with God. You have to remember that one time God showed His grace on you and baptized with the Holy Spirit. You have to remember that one time you were in this church. You have to remember that you had a father and you had a mother that prayed for you. You have to remember that you had a grandma and grandpa that shared tears and times in fasting and in praying for you. You have to remember. The word of God has to be centralized down in my brain. Because if it's going to be centralized down in my brain right now, let me tell you something. One day I will have it on my forehead. As the way Revelation 22:4 says, that one time we'll stay right there in front of the Lamb wearing His word on our forehead. Fiul risipitor și-a venit în fire. Spune Biblia că și-a venit în fire, adică a conștientizat, s-a oprit din drumul lui și a spus, trebuie să revin, dar uite că și până la urmă, chiar și slugile tatălui meu au o viață mai decentă ca mine. But there has to be a point in your life when you have to say, stop, let me see, where do I come from and where am I going? Să spui ca și David în Psalmul 139, încearcă-mă și cercetează-mi gândurile, Dumnezeule, vezi dacă sunt pe o cale rea și du-mă pe calea veșniciei. But there has to be a moment in your life of remembering the word of God, remembering that you are a Christian, remembering that Jesus Christ died for you. 2. The second part says that he went out. Peter went out. Peter pulled himself out. If you want to overcome the fail, you have to pull yourself out. You have to pull yourself out from that addiction. You have to pull yourself out from that friendship. You have to pull yourself out from that relationship. You have to pull yourself out between those people. You have to pull yourself out from those friends. They get you in a wrong direction. If there's a moment in your life, if you want to overcome failure, you have to pull yourself out. You have to run. You have to run. Joseph was in a moment when he was talking to Potiphar's wife, and he understood the danger there. He could have said, you know what, let's see where it's going. I mean, let's talk, let's chat, let's have a coffee, let's see. No, he understood that he has to run. There's no time for walking. There's no time for walking. Because if you walk, let me tell you something, you might end up like Lot's wife, a stone of salt, A stone of salt that is always going to stick to the past. A stone of salt that is always going to stick to the sin. A stone of salt that is always going to stick to the failure. You got to pull yourself out. You got to run. I got to run. And third of all, the Bible says that he wept bitterly. Well, those weren't just some tears of an emotion. Those weren't just, brothers and sisters, just some tears of a sermon, of a song that they heard. No, those were tears of a change. Those were tears of forgiveness. Those were tears of repentance. This man was different. Peter, from that point on, was a different person, was a different man. He had a different attitude. His character was new. His character was rebuilt. You know, a woman is brought to Jesus, and they all say, we caught her in the act, in the scene. Now, what do you say? And he's just writing on the sand. And he's writing there like, the one that has no sin should throw first with a rock. They're all leaving. And she's full of tears, and she looks at him, and he says, where are the ones that condemn you, woman? And she says, there's no one, Lord. And what does he say? It's so interesting. Neither I condemn you. Go, but sin no more. Go, but sin no more. Go, but be different. Go, but be a different wife. Go, but be a different husband. Go, but be a different daughter, a different son, a different grandpa. Go, but be different, be transformed, be changed. That's the secret, brothers and sisters. We gotta be changed. We gotta be new people. So, in my conclusion, what do you want to be tonight? Do you want to be a Judah or do you want to be a Peter? You decide. You can be a Judah and end up like him. And I ask myself, thinking like, even though Billy Graham is pretty old, if probably God would give him some more time and he would have an opportunity to go and spend a year with this man, even though he's old, I think he would have a big impact on your life and on my life. Did you ever think like if you would be able to go back in time and spend 2 years with Apostle Paul? I was just thinking this week, I think I would be a total different man. I think all of us here would be different. What a change, what an impact that would have on my life. And I said, still God, I'm looking at Judah. This man spent 3 years with Jesus, 3 years, almost every day with God, and he ended up like that. And I asked myself, God, is that possible? Yes, it's possible. Yeah. You can stay in a church 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, a lifetime, and you can end up like that. You can be lost, and you can be in a total darkness. Yes, you can be like Judah. I can be like Judah. We can decide to be like Judah and kill yourself. Maybe not commit a physical suicide, but commit a spiritual suicide. As long as things go well in my life, I come to church. But when he says that, when the pastor says that, when that happened in my life, I turn my back. I have my rebellious way and view of living. And I don't want to have anything to do with my brothers and my sisters. I don't want to have to do anything with God. I don't want to have anything to do with the pastors. And I just live my life. And God wants to save you, but he has no one to save. Because you reject him, I reject him. Or you can be a Peter. You can be a Peter, a man that is changed, a man that is transformed, a man that is different. Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church. My dear brother and sister, tonight, I want to tell you something. You can be that rock that God is going to build that church. You can be that rock that God is going to build a church. You can be that rock where God's going to build a family. You can be that rock where God's going to restore a family. You can be that rock where God's going to build a wife, build a husband, build a son, a daughter, a friend, a character. You can be that rock. I can be that rock. And I pray, God, that we can be those rocks and we can be a real Peter. You know, people came to John the Baptist and asked him and said, who are you? I mean, they didn't ask him like, who are you? Like, are you homeless? No, they asked him like, who are you? Like, are you Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? Who are you? And John looks at them and says, I am a voice. Sunt o voce care strigă în pustie. O voce. A voice. You know why he said it's a voice? Because a voice is not going to get a Grammy. A voice is not going to get a distinction. No one's going to make a statue to a voice. To a bishop, maybe. To a pope, to the pope from Vatican, I don't know, maybe. But no one is going to do that to a voice. I pray for me and I pray for you tonight to be that voice. Be a voice that holds the faith up. Be a voice that doesn't know any fear. Be a voice overcoming failures. Be a voice that will make a change. God bless you.